Lauren, we got you.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is how we do it.
About having you back with us again on this Wednesday night. We'll look forward to have a very spirited conversation about sports topics that relates to your school. We're asking all historical black colleges and universities, high school and middle schools in southeastern part of the United States, to make sure as a fan you call in, share your thoughts with us. Our call-in number is 347-857-4192. Let's kind of share some things with you. Before we kind of get started, as we always do, we want our prayers is for the country to be very successful. Our prayers is to make sure that if you're encountering things, our prayers is for you to be the best and have great wishes for you. Let me introduce my co-hosts. Let's start off with my first co-host, and this is the coach of the airwaves, Darryl E. Train Elliott.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Talking Sports. And by the way, I just want to tell everybody that's listening right now, I love you. I'm waiting on you. Call in. Get on this thing with us. Let's roll.
All right. Thank you, Darryl. And our second co-host we have is Coach Tremaine Edwards.
How y'all doing tonight? Airway. I got some hot topics to talk to y'all about. Got some celebration moments that I want to mention to y'all a little later on, but I'm ready to talk sports, baby. Let's go.
Awesome, Tremaine. And for my favorite, my partner in crime, you would call it, my special man, Darryl, my frat brother, also this frat brother, talk to me, Tony Stallworth.
What's up? Hey, another show, another time. Need those listening ears. And for Darryl. Tell them about your concert on the 17th anyway. Valentine's with Darryl. We'll be there, Darryl.
Awesome. Oh, now the last co-host. She's the millennium, the baby of the bunch. That smart, young, energetic young lady who's in grad school and just striving to do better. Lauren, Coach Lauren D. Smith. Holler at them.
Good evening, everybody. Today's been a fantastic day. It's National Signing Day across America. It's the Christmas. It's like Christmas for us football fans. It's been a very, very energetic day, so I can't wait to go ahead and talk about it right here with you guys.
That's awesome. I thank each and every one of y'all for being here, co-hosts, and we're going to have a very spirited show tonight. I'm very excited about this opportunity to be before you. Your question is, why Talking Sports Plus? Because just talking sports is not enough. We go way beyond where your talking heads and your pundits go, and we talk about historical black colleges, universities, high schools, and middle school athletics throughout the southeastern part of the United States. Again, our contact number, our call-in number is 347-857-4192, and our web link to hear the show is www.blogtalkradio.com/LDAlberto Smith Production. And if you want to get us and contact us through email, you can email at talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. All right, team, let's kind of get this thing started tonight. We're going to start off again with our coach's corner because we've got some hot topics here. We're going to talk about these topics, share as much thought as possible. in regards to the various topics. And we're going to just kind of look at the first topic, and that's this. Should the undergraduate transfer rule be changed to allow athletes from schools that have violated NCAA rules and regulations be eligible to play immediately? And I want us to kind of share our thoughts on that.
Well, I deal with that there all the time in my profession. And here's the key word, violation. Anytime you make a choice to go to or make a choice in anything, that's privileged. Anytime you violate it, you lost the privilege. So you have to have a cap on that. If not, it will be utilized as an opportunity to stop by here for a minute. Okay, I don't like what's going on here. I'm moving on to the next place. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you don't keep up a problem where it is, it goes somewhere else with you. Now, that's not the case in all situations, but that's the cap that you have to look at, and that's the situation or the boundary that you have to have on student-athletes. Because let's be mindful. All of them are not what you call shrewd decision-makers anyway. And every decision that you make, sometimes it may not be one you want, but you got to live with it. Life deals you that hand, even in what we do. So I think that having that stipulation in place because of violation is the way it should be.
Daryl E., Coach, you couldn't have said it more better. Number one, I'll give it to you in the simplest form. How about this? I violate here, same thing you said. I go somewhere else, but the thing is that it's only going to run rapid if you don't have a cap in place. And it would behoove me that I would rather go to a D2, go from a D1 to a D2, a D2 to a D1, and I got these violations from this school, and it's following me. If I didn't have that in place, hey, look, you know, hey. I'm gone, you know, and going somewhere else. So I can't even see anybody arguing that because you got to have something in place. It's like being at home at the house. I break the lamp. If I don't get in trouble for breaking the lamp, well, hell, I'm going to break the dishes the next, you know.
You're going to break something else bigger than the lamp.
Yes, exactly,
there you go.
Exactly. All right.
All right, Tremaine was here. I'm going to look at it like this. It depends on the severity of the violation. In many cases, I've seen where recruiting violation gets postseason banned. If I'm a senior and I'm trying to win a championship, yes, I think I should be allowed to leave. If I'm a young guy that's involved in the recruiting ban, no, sir, you cannot leave. So I just think it depends on the violation of and the consequence of the ban that is being applied to that school. But in some cases, I think it's doable because, I mean, those kids didn't know what was going on. That's what they say. But
so,
let me just
ask this question. So what you're saying is if the severity of the violation is because of the coach or the university that caused it, then it shouldn't be such a stern penalty on making a choice to leave. Is that what you're saying?
I'm going to use this. I'm going to touch this right here, Starwork. With the Michigan State thing, if I'm a freshman and that has been going on, I think I should be allowed to leave, not knowing the stipulations behind that. You get what I'm saying right there?
But if you're a senior and have gone through 3 years of it, then you shouldn't be able to leave. Is that what you're saying?
It depends on the stipulation of the violation. If it's so far as you're paying recruits and you get caught, I think that senior should be allowed to leave because he's not the reason behind it. It depends on it's how it works. Like as far as doing to the class of you, like if I'm a senior and the freshmen that coming in got caught taking money, I'm going to say the Louisville mm-hmm. thing, the Auburn thing. The freshman that came in took the money. I might have took money my freshman year, but I didn't get caught. You get what I'm saying? So I feel like I shouldn't be punished for what those kids did.
I agree.
Awesome.
And the extent of our three is this.
It goes back to compliance. Compliance is a part of the orientation process. What it allows you to do as an incoming student athlete, whether you're senior or not, but you've been a freshman for a senior or you're transferred in, if you transferred in, you should have got damn compliance from somewhere else. Those rules and regulations and the stipulations and the consequences behind them should be explanatory to each one of the student athletes because they got to be responsible for their own dispositions. If it happens at the mercy of a coach, what the NCAA usually does is not penalize the whole school or the student or just the student athletes that are involved. So it's some fairness in this, and it's some unfairness, too, to a certain extent because of those that may not have been involved. But I'm going to tell you something. It goes back to compliance. Let everybody know what is, what's not, what can be done, what is the consequence to be done, and here's how we move. And once that's explained to you, then you sometimes become a victim of, but you shouldn't become a victim of without knowledge of the consequences of a violation. A violation is just what it is. You broke a rule.
Oh, that's awesome. Coach Smith, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I got a question. We talking about if the athletes violated the rule or the school violated the rule, the coaching staff, somebody on the coaching staff violates the NCAA rule.
Okay, let me kind of jump in there. Let's relate to the Ole Miss situation. You know, in the Ole Miss situation, with so many things going on, whereas, you know, Hugh Freeze left and was able to leave. But there's a quarterback that wants to go to Michigan State. Michigan, University of Michigan, and they may not clear him because he's not a senior. I think he's a junior or a rising junior. So kind of let's look at it that way if you want to just take a particular place within the violation. Let's look at it in regards to Ole Miss.
Okay. So Ole Miss, that young man should be allowed to leave because half of the – I'm looking at all 21 allegations that the NCAA pulled up against Ole Miss. And it was one of them was boosters paid at least $13,000 to a recruit who later spurred them. Two former Ole Miss assistants helped fix recruits' ACT scores. If that young man was not one of the kids that was involved with that, yes, he should be able to leave. Now, we can go to the with Brian Bowen. Yeah. Brian Bowen, he was the reason that Louisville is in this trouble right now. He transferred to South Carolina. And not all this talking about he's going to play next year. No. Because how do we know that you didn't have money in South Carolina? That's what I'm saying. That kid should not be allowed to play college basketball anymore. His college career should be over. The same way with Austin Wiley. How do we know you're not going to do it again? Just because you set out 1 year, that's not punishment to me. You said you embarrassed the whole school. No. So a kid like Brian Bowen, no.
Well, here's what I think, and I'm agreeing and not totally disagreeing with my sister, but student athletes should be given somewhat of a severity to say that, look, you're under a compliance of a university. They are responsible for your actions. It's just like I read the paper today, and I'm not going to call a name because you don't know where I am going to add here. But just because the student athlete got caught into the situation with the payoff, this, that, and the other, the NCAA saying one thing, no longer will coaches will be spared on the fact that they saying that they didn't know what was going on. They're going to be held accountable. So the university, once you sign these scholarships, it's your responsibility to make sure that every area of compliance be explained thoroughly, and when it becomes a violation, a penalty comes behind it. And whatever that penalty comes behind it, it needs to be served. Because if you allow a student athlete at that level to get by, then they're headed to the destiny in corruption in legal issues. Because they're going to always think that they have, should I say, a put in a situation to be prioritized because of being an athlete, that they can get away with this and that. And that has happened. It's still happening. So I think it needs to be more struck, more enforced, like even at the level we are in high school, so kids can, or student athletes can understand that, hey, abiding by violations are like abiding by law in society.
Hey, Coach, if you paid these people, if you paid these college students, none of this would be happening. That's all I want to say.
Now we're going somewhere.
Yeah, now we go with something, a ball game that we have to really deal with. But before we move on, we want to make sure we give our call-in number. That's 347-857-4192. We're looking for you to call in, as well as if you're on the web link, just kind of call in and share your thoughts, because this is an outstanding topic. Let me just add my 1 cent. I don't have 2 cents. I have 1 cent. Basically, when you look at this situation, there's a new proposal out that not only affecting seniors being able to leave schools that are actually on the violation, just to be able to just transfer anyway. And there's a proposal coming to effect that all undergraduates ought to be able to, if they go to a school and not happy with the school, they can transfer for academics, but maybe could they possibly transfer for athletics as well. And that's one of the discussion. That legislation is going to come up in the NCAA spring conference, where they normally have a summer conference. They're going to talk about it. So that's the line we're looking at. In some cases, there are major violations like Ole Miss. Some cases, even taken with the situation we know happening with Auburn in regards to the two players and with the coach, the assistant coach. Bottom line,
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Do all co-hosts agree that if you get paid the amount of money that these coaches get paid, I was looking at Auburn's coach salary being broke down in 5-year intervals.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't they be held accountable for making sure their programs stay in compliance?
Absolutely.
Like Darryl said it with a mouthful. Kids doesn't get paid anything. Sometimes they struggle with that. When you struggle with something that you feel like that you are earning for somebody else, you make bad decisions. Man, I've been a college athlete before. Make real bad decisions. And coaches should be held accountable for it. We're talking millions. I'm talking about enough money to say I ain't working no more at the expense of guaranteed money, regardless to a win or loss. And a student athlete will have to be at the prime of their athletic ability. Because I'm going to be honest with you, they're not going to school what we did, Dr. Smith and Tremaine and Ms. Smith, to get an education, to make a decent salary, to file livelihood. They're going for the whole prize. And that's just like putting a loaded gun in somebody's hand. They don't get it. They're going to do whatever it takes to demoralize the university. So if you pay that money to the coaches, then they should be held liable to make sure that that program is in control. Just that simple.
Let me add one more thing, not to cut anybody off. Let me add one more thing. Just think about it. We'll take the Louisville situation, and it was already discussed where the player is able to transfer to another student. And he received some money. You got a situation, and in comparison now, the coach at Louisville was fired immediately, all right, because his name, and I think it was brought up earlier, that the top is the one that's going to have to take the blame for it. Vice versa, I'm going to take it. I'm not trying to hit home, Auburn University. The school wanted to investigate. The head coach told him, don't come to him and talk about nothing like that. But the point is, that person was on his staff. So is it right that one school, Louisville, can fire their coach and the other coach can tell the university, don't come talk to me about nothing like that. And now all of a sudden you're winning and everybody forgot it. So what exactly – where do we go from? Where do we go?
I got the answer there.
Mm-hmm.
I got the answer.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to probably be on this topic. We probably won't get to anything else later tonight. But here's the deal. Go back to the history of Louisville. I'm going to put some things in perspective. You remember when the mother stepped up and said that her daughter was involved in we know what? Going on with income questions?
Yep.
You wrote a book on it? Mm-hmm. That kind of got pushed back. Remember? Do you remember the situation where the coach of the team, I call the names, was charged with abuse on a certain female that wanted to come front and tell some things about him and his relationship as opposed to being married, that the NCAA had already put them in a situation of probationary because if you don't clean it up, it's over. So it was a forceful hand on the coach. It was a forceful hand on the administration the star from the top coming down in order to keep the program alive. Whereas some of the other schools may have started under the same umbrella and given the same type of opportunity to clean up before we clean you up. And that's the way it goes. The reason why the NCAA doesn't make a dominant decision on it is because they're trying to protect the student athlete for what adults are not doing the right thing. That's the bottom line. Call and be done with it.
Exactly. That's another discussion.
Oh, we got a hot topic here that we don't want to go kind of quiet as a co-host on it. Just there's some other discussion in regards to that because we are trying to compare and look at situations, but that's what the pundits and the talking heads are saying about, you know, why not attack that situation, be across the board, let's do it that way if we're going to do it that way. And that's everybody going to cry wolf. You can go back to when University of Alabama went on their $100,000 excursion up in Memphis. And, you know, but everybody keep, again, there were several other situations before that one came out. And that led where they say they almost got the death penalty, if y'all can remember. That was before Nick Saban came down. You almost got the death penalty. So, you know, that's the same. But let's kind of look at that. So like a co-host, Brother Stallover said, you know, this is a topic can be talked about alone. So, you know, co-host, y'all want to add some more to that? Because, yes, sir, yes, sir.
But isn't it true, or at least, you know, I speak from a commonality side of things. You know, Tony knows the technical side, the rules and regulations. But isn't it true that in this game of sports, there are the haves and the have-nots? And so as long as you are winning and you get to sweep certain things under the rug, or at least it seems the powers that be can make it happen because you are a big-time winning team. But I have seen some teams that win still have those NCAA infractions and lose it all. But I agree with the situation with Auburn and what happened there. I think that was more of a have and have-not situation going on there. That's what I had to add to that.
Okay.
And I agree. And to add to what – my co-host and frat brother said, Darryl, is it's all about the revenue, too. You know, revenue is one of those type of situations where it's a profitable game for the NCAA. And everything has to be looked at more than one time before you make a decision because of, you know, where we're going with this and what ripple effect it may cause on the whole entire body which they govern. And another thing is according to the timing of the violation. I've seen some things happen at the wrong time, like going into a bowl or going into a conference championship that get delayed, and we'll deal with that later. So it's a business world for the athletes, it's a business world for the NCAA, and a business world for the university. It's all about R-E-V-U-N-U-E, revenue. That's the bottom line.
95% of the money that the NCAA, by the way, the NCAA is a nonprofit organization, but they boasted that 95% of the money that they get goes to back to the students and the sport itself, and only 5% goes to operations, you know, outside of the NCAA and, you know, staffing and stuff like that. But the reality is that
5% of millions ain't bad, though.
5% of hundreds of millions is not bad. Let's get that straight. That's what I want to add to that.
I got one thing I want to add. With the coaches, how would you control where the money comes from, though? Even though I might be a coach, who's to say I know what's going on?
Well, that's what you might, my brother, that's why they pay you the top dollar. If you don't know, you better put somebody in place to know. If not, it's going to cost, the ripple effect will come back to you. They're not getting paid $200,000 a year. They're getting paid millions. Anytime somebody give you that type of salary right there, you have a huge responsibility. If you don't want to fulfill the responsibility, don't sign on the dotted line because there's going to be something come behind that. Don't nobody give that kind of money away from nothing.
it's a responsibility to have. The university has to protect their, I say, identity, protect, you know, their establishment. When they give you that money, they're saying, okay. And it's all explained to coaches. That's why coaches don't ever bring legal attorneys in when it comes to that. But because the fine print, they sign you. And when it's proven that the program is out of control, it goes right back to the coach. And that's why assistant coaches survive, because they don't make as much, and they don't have to be victimized for the condition of it. I understand what you're saying, but do you understand the figures that they are making? It's all unbelievable.
Yes,
and they're not doing that much work. If you're not doing that much work, at least you can do what? Control your program. I like that, my sister. I mean, you agree.
You're right, because Rick Pitino, it's no possible you can say that you didn't know that. You didn't know that it was a sex scandal going on within your program. Come on now, man. Come on, you know something. You heard something. It was time for him to talk. He didn't know.
You know, the sister is so strong. I love the way she come off on this thing. But and she's right. I completely agree with her. But the reality is when you're paying somebody $416,000 a month and they can't control. Now, we didn't say a year. We said $416,000 a month, Rick Pitino. And you don't know what's going on in your organization? Nah, I'm scratching my head on that one.
Yeah, you know. You know, you better wish you knew. That's why you sign a contract. You take the money and go to another job. That's why you sign a guaranteed contract. The lawyers always tell you, look, sign guaranteed contracts because there's some things you're not going to be able to control or get out of control. At least you can get paid when you get, because you're really not getting fired. All you're doing is being compensated and being laid off and going on vacation. Coaches don't get fired at that level. You don't get fired with that kind of money. I get fired. I don't get fired now. That's fine.
Got a question. Got one more question towards it. Depending on the severity of the crime that the coach does, like, is there a difference between a sex scandal and changing of grades? Is there a difference between that?
I see your point, Coach. I see your point. But let's go back to that salary he's making. The salary. I'm telling you, Coach. I know a little bit more about this. The salary clearly states that you are controlled on every aspect of your program. You're going to be held out. Okay, that's why we're going to pay you this amount. You sign that on that dotted line. You've taken on that responsibility. They're not going to distinguish. They're just not. When the integrity of that program comes to the forefront of the NCAA, your butt is going to be gone. But you'd be going on a long vacation and being paid. So you're really not losing. What you want to do is have the right legal counsel to make sure you get the right money in case you cannot be responsible for every aspect that go on, whether it's sexual scandal or change of grade. So you can say, okay, I take the load. Take old buddy at Auburn. He just refused to speak. Smart man. Force me to speak. I'm going to keep working because he already got his guaranteed money. You got to understand the business of it. He got his guaranteed money. Nothing's going to happen to him anyway. Other than he's already come from a program where something like this happened before, so you took a chance when you hired him. You put in his contract that if it ever happens again and be approved by the NCAA, you're gone. So it's just a matter of him waiting for you. What? You proved it. I'm not going to confess. You prove it.
Coach Stalwart.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that's why – And I gotta say this right. Do you think that's why Nick Saban be so mad on the sideline because he getting $96,000 a month?
That's a good reason because he don't want to interrupt you. Thank you. You just validated my point. I like it, big guy. You always got good data. Carry on, Dr. Smith. We're struggling with this all night long.
And I know we got a coach online that has some great news anyway. So he was talking at the top of the show. So I'd love to hear what his great news is.
That's right. Dr. Smith, where are you?
Well, we may have lost Dr. Smith, but I know that that coach online said he had some great news. I think he had some winning up on his. Are you there, my coach?
Tremaine, are you there? Ain't nobody here but me and you there?
I'm here.
Where's the other two? Well, let me ask you this. Let's talk about the Magic City Class of Hardwood this Saturday, Alabama A&M. Can I start off on that one?
Please.
Yeah,
do.
Go ahead.
Here's what I look at. And my sister, I know you can agree in there as well. It has never been a situation where it really constitutes the outcome of who's going to what, you know, championship, et cetera. It gets down to pride. It gets down to tradition. And the bottom line, it gets down to it could cost a coach what? His or her job. But the bottom line is it really brings people together. The camaraderie and the spirit of the game. And it's so many parties that are in there where the parity comes together, whether my wife went here, my daughter went here, and this and the other. It's like an Alabama-Auburn thing, especially with A&M and Alabama State University, and of course the other HBCUs too. And it is one of those things that we must and have to hold on to because that's one thing that's guaranteed in the HBCU. So I think it's one of those situations where, you know, that, hey, let's forget about where we've been. Let's forget about where we might be headed. Let's deal with this because this is the thing that we have to express our culture-centric competitiveness among ourselves, and nobody really loses because, hey, at the end of the day, it was you versus us, and our pride in HBCU still stands alive. Somebody want to move on from there?
I'm going to jump in if y'all don't mind. Allow me to jump in. You know, myself attending the first Hardwood, Magic City Class on the Hardwood, you know, we could kind of see that the pageantry and the excitement still goes on because you still have fans there, and even though the game looked like it was going to be a blowout at Alabama State, what it turned out to be a real close game. I thought maybe I was going to see one of the greatest comebacks in this Magic City Classic on Hardwood. And it was exciting because ASU was up 24 points. And by being up 24 points, they actually led up, took the feet off the gas, like they say, and eventually the game came down the last 5-6 seconds. And they may have lost the game, but that was some good defensive play. So it's good, the excitement of having it from home to home. It brings back that chance for you to go back, even if there's not a lot of people coming back because of the time of the year, because of the situation with, you know, the weather is a little cooler in different places. But you kind of see still excitement and pageantry right there. So, you know, that's how I see it, and the rest of the co-hosts can add to that.
Tremaine that was here, Alabama A&M alumni. I'm gonna say this: the camaraderie is.
Say that again now.
Tremaine Edwards here, Alabama A&M alumni.
I'm so glad.
All right, let's
go
do
ahead,
it,
my
let's
brother.
Do
it. Go ahead.
The camaraderie will always be there. I'm up here on a committee trying to get the Magic City Classic, trying to get it to go home in a way, man. I just feel like we're in a place where we need to support our cities instead of supporting Birmingham. I feel like we're in a place where we can support each other. But I think that camaraderie will always be there. And, you know, when I say that, everyone's first question is, that stadium can't hold all the folks. I said, I don't know no stadium that can hold everyone that comes to the game, though. I mean, I'm just being real. I go to Tuscaloosa, and, you know, we see 200,000 people in Tuscaloosa at the game, but only 94,000, 95,000, 102 inside the stadium. I mean, it's something that we really need to think about, man. That's just me on that situation right there.
I agree, my brother.
I want that to be something as well. Okay, Lauren, you have anything you want to add to that?
Well, yeah, I do. Alabama State, they're 5-6 in the SWAC, and A&M is 2-9, so y'all do the math.
It don't mean nothing, Lauren. We don't care about that.
I need something to put that in.
That's why I like the millennium. Nobody argues with the millennium.
No, just take it and keep moving. Just keep it. That's
rivalry week. It's rivalry week.
Rivalry week. That's awesome.
Do you remember the words of our old forefathers that said you can't do nothing with a female and nothing without them? Ooh.
You shut up mouth for that.
That gospel truth. But you know what? I like to say something to you guys. The reality is, in my mind, you know, not to knock Magic City Classic, not to knock where it is, but the reality is that I you know, tradition is tradition. That's great. But you know, that stadium is down at Alabama State University, and I don't know what's at A&M. It's been 30 years since I've been at A&M, but I would like to see more happening in the cities, Huntsville and Montgomery, as opposed to that big weekend in Birmingham, having more than just the Turkey Day Classic down here, having some other stuff born from this where these schools can reap the benefits. And the city as a whole can reap the benefits, more of it, rather than just one time a year.
I agree.
Thank you, sir.
I agree. Okay. Now, let me give you the call-in number.
I think you've been into promotional business, and I think until the universities are willing to bag themselves financially going in, profit gain, profit loss, and have an understanding how it's done, most of them are just subjected to allowing the cities to be the forerunner and they be the beneficiary of profits as opposed to percentage. I think that's what's going on now, and I agree with you. If you would just take the full responsibility in your city and just have an integration between you and your city on a rotating basis, and let's go back to what Tremaine said too. Now, but you got to facilitate it. You got to have a venue. And I would think in Huntsville you may have somewhat of a problem, but I think Alabama State University would not have a problem other than parking. And we think Dr. Smith, I think we can accommodate
the fans. That's the problem.
And it's vice versa here, Coach Stallworth. We have the parking. And don't have the venue.
Right.
don't have the venue. Don't have the sign to put people in there. Exactly.
But like I'm saying, Coach Stallworth, with that situation, the numbers are nowhere near where they need to be. But it's like we're accepting it. Last year, they're splitting $500,000 when the city makes $36 million.
Yeah,
y'all get me right there.
Schools are splitting.
You know what time it is. They don't ever allow to be in their city unless they're gonna be on top of the revenue package. Now, I'm gonna tell you that right now.
Exactly.
Who knows how it works?
Exactly. Before we move on, we need to make sure we get that call in number. That's 347-857-4192. 347-857-4192. So call in, join the conversation. It's quite spirited tonight. We got some laughter going on, and that's awesome to have an opportunity to do that. Before we move forward, we're going to have to get back to really talk about, Darren brought the point up. One of our co-hosts have some exciting news about winning championships, and we want to take this opportunity now to let him share some of that excitement. Matter of fact, I saw on Facebook they had a parade at the school, a parade of champions walking in the hallway. So, Coach Tremaine Everett, would you share with us those things that have occurred at your school this academic year so far in the form of athletics?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll take the kudos with that. This is the first year I've been a part of a championship team as far as basketball. We are a basketball school. I'm going to say that. Chapman Middle School in Huntsville, Alabama, we are a basketball school. This year we were reluctant to have a great football team. So we won a championship in football, boys basketball, and girls basketball. So I'm going to take kudos for that one.
Congratulations.
Thank you, thank you. Had a parade for the boys and girls basketball teams today at the school. First time this happened in a minute. And this, and I'm going to say this, with this group right here, this is one of the best groups I've ever seen in middle school as far as winning it. The football, boys basketball, and girls basketball. I'm just amazed at the talents that's coming through the school. And I got to give thanks to my administration and my parents for making this thing work this year.
Again, that's awesome. And here, Coach, I was in attendance. I want to let everybody know for his both of his team. And it said his Coach Edward coached both of the boys and girls. And the girls won the game by 25 or so. I'm giving and taking. He can kind of correct me. And then the boys came back. The game was tough. It was 27-23 at halftime, but it ended up to be like 56-34. So this was I had an opportunity to see them a couple of times. I saw them in Tuskegee, win the championship down there in Tuskegee Middle School. So this was a unique group, and I applaud Coach Edwards. I know it was taxing on him, but he would walk around. Coach Starwer, you know how he was dressed at the game, Coach Starwer?
How was it, friend?
He had on a red blazer. He had a red blazer. Coach Starwer, who had a red blazer?
God bless him.
Nick Saban.
What you call him? Little Star Word. Little Nick Saban. Little Nick Saban. He won that championship. He walked around with that red blazer on. I was so proud of the young man. But he's a part of our team.
My brother, Nick, hey, you want to be St. Nick? St. Nick wins, and he keep wearing that blazer. Keep wearing that blazer.
Exactly. But that's awesome. But, you know, we want to take this opportunity to applaud the efforts of the Chapman community. That includes everybody there. Coach Edwards, he worked with the football and also do the basketball. And the young people, well-mannered, and the parents, you know, they work to support. So the whole community made an effort. And that's what it takes. It takes a whole village to raise our young people. And to have success in three academic areas, basically in the fall, going into the early part of the winter with the kids and that's with the young people, that's awesome. So we want to applaud you. Again, we say congratulations, Coach. You can let them all know at Chapman, Talking Sports Plus, and the team says congratulations on behalf of just having the opportunity just to see your games, but Blog Talk Radio puts you on, puts you live. So tell them to tune in next time. They can hear Coach Edwards. He's given that fruitful conversation. So we again say congratulations. Before we move on, we're going to give that call-in number out again. That's 347-857-4192. We're going to count. I know we have some topics, brothers and sisters, but let me throw this out to you. Now, I don't know whether you had a chance to see this, and I want y'all the thought process on it. It was signing day. Christmas, as the millennium said, millennium Lord said Christmas for most teams. There was a situation, two situations that occurred that was on Facebook. One of them was the receiver down in Scandia County in Florida, Pensacola, Jacob Copeland. He announced, had the three hats. He announced where he was going. His choice was either Tennessee, Alabama, or Florida. So he chose to go to Florida, and his mama got up with an Alabama shirt on, Tennessee hat on, and walked before he could sign the letter. She got up and walked across the front of the camera. Come on, brother, let's talk about that a little bit.
You know, Coach Smith, I wonder, you know, I wonder, Go ahead.
It's gonna be quick, Sour. I'm gonna tell you this. She probably got that text message from Nick Saban saying, "Don't cash that check."
You're right.
Don't cash that check. Go ahead, Sour.
Wait a minute, Tony. I don't think that was the message. I think the message was whatever check you got, I'll double it.
That's all right. All right, Coach Sauer, come on, add something to that.
You know the thing about it is, I said to myself when I saw that, I said, I wonder if that had been draft day when she gotten up, if he had to go to Baltimore or Cincinnati.
Indianapolis.
Oh, Indianapolis. Well, you know, they all play that. They all play that role. And sometimes I wonder, do the parents market their kids? You know what I'm saying? When you look at Paul, how he did what he did. I begin to see a situation a little bit different because he was in the marketing business. But I wonder sometimes, do our parents that are not really doing – I don't want to get too deep in that because I like to protect my race and my people I live with. But I think we get too caught up – I think they get too caught up into this is my ticket. You know what I'm saying?
And
sometimes somebody may have told them what their ticket is going to be. And when you turn on your child on national television because of decision, when some people can't even get their kids to go to school, now you find out that their education no more is B-U-S-I-N-E-S-S business. And that's where we're headed. Go ahead,
exactly.
Cole.
Okay. Okay. Lauren.
The mommy and the son went on the same page. He ain't say, "Mama, I ain't going to go to them. It's going to be a trick. I'm going to put the shirt on."
Yeah.
Because usually you're telling them, okay, we're going to run a trick play here. We're going to run a people play right here. We're going to wear a shirt. I'm going to go, we're going to just go out. He got so upset. Like, okay. Did he probably get caught too? I didn't understand what was going on.
I think we all was lost on that one, but I figured it should have went like this. They had the discussion. Then Nick Saban, remember now, Nick Saban was down to the house doing the Cuban shuffle. And he was doing the. Now, y'all remember that. He was doing the Cuban shuffle. So
yeah,
he sitting there and ate some ribs. It ain't good. Yeah, he was doing the Cuban shuffle and everything. So I guess that the lady mama right with it. The mama was getting down. So she said, I like Nick Saban. He's going to go to Alabama, you know, mess around. And that boy threw a wrinkle. He said going to Florida, then she got real upset. But yeah, that was just a loop. Oh, what you want to call that? She threw a curveball on her child.
You know what? She had on two hats, right?
Yeah, she had a shirt to Alabama and a hat to Tennessee. Didn't have no Florida nowhere.
Yeah.
She
was already ready to take what one loss in two games. But here's the deal. I really like the way the student athlete handled it. He never even looked up.
No, he didn't. He didn't ever look up. He kept up. He kept on. Hey, Mama, you ain't embarrassed me, Mama. You know. But it's all good. But you know what it is? And that's why I say this signing day can be real drama, and that's a drama. Now, I have
it
one
is.
More.
Let's talk
about the other one right quick. There's an NFL player plays for the Miami Dolphins, Jarvis Landry. He gets on Twitter, and he talks about Patrick Surtain Jr. because he didn't go to LSU. To the point it got – I'm not going to repeat what was said on Twitter – to the point to the dad at Patrick Surtain Sr. came on Facebook and everything. Watch your mouth. Come on, brother. Let's talk about that. Then.
I will say what he said. He called him a groupie. He called him a groupie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He said, "Don't
wow.
you're a groupie."
Mm-hmm. Yep. Wow. Wow.
Well, I guess it's one thing that we all have to be mindful of. and we have to be mindful of the day has changed so much tremendously about, I remember when I signed my scholarship, my mother wasn't even there. It was done through mail. It wasn't even a situation where it was in any type of media at all. We were all glad. She had already said, "Is you gonna get out of this house one way or the other? And if you don't get out that way, it's gonna be another way." And things are just things. You know, when you marketing your kids at the expense of how you gonna live the next 5-10 years, you get over the top, so to speak. And being over the top at the expense of your kids can be very damaging. That's why I respected that young man, how he handled that, because his mom had already said what she was going to do. And he already knew it. It was just for us, the viewers, to see it. But what she didn't know is what he was going to do. And that's going to be that young man is going to be a very successful man, because he has intelligence and he looks at having an opportunity to make a decision as something that he earned, not what she earned. Mm-hmm. And that should be something to be respected.
And kind of jump, I'm going to jump in right at this point. You know, we got to kind of remember this kind of happened a couple of years ago with Landon Collins. You know, he was sitting down and he said he was going to Alabama, and his mom said when they interviewed, "I'm still going to cheer for LSU." I wonder if she's still cheering for LSU when she's getting them checks that boy given to her. But I just want to use that for example, because she did it vice versa. Alabama benefited from that one. This one, Alabama didn't benefit. But, you know, I want y'all to keep this in mind. I won't be surprised. You remember the same thing happened with a kid that was supposed to sign with Auburn? I ain't talking about the linebacker, the big offensive tackle. He started Auburn on the team, but he came back and signed with Alabama. So that was an announcement. The question is, did he send in his letter? Because the mama got to sign the letter. The dad got somebody got to sign the letter. So what agreement did they work out? I'm talking about the situation in Florida that, you know, just something to think about. But, you know, we're at the point now, we're about at the end of the show. I know we had other topics and other things we want to talk about. If there's anything you want to share.
Can I share something statistically with you? And I think it's very beneficial to our listeners. In our local high schools, I was able to compute some data on signees' numbers. I don't have time to discuss where they're going, but I want to put emphasis on that Alabama State University did do a tremendous job of getting 4 to 6 athletes between our 4 major large schools in Montgomery. Lee High School had 7 signees. Carver High School had 7 signees. Jeff Davis had 4. And Lanier, your alma mater, Dr. Smith, had 11. I think that should be applauded because, and also for the fact that Alabama State University did get 4 to 6 athletes that came from different schools that are going to be teammates. And that's good. That's going to be good for high school going forward to give student athletes an opportunity to understand that there's a way out of nowhere and there's a way here at home. And that will also give us as fans or fans in our community an opportunity to go see student athletes that have been on different teams but are still here in the city, get a chance to see them grow right here in our own university program. Kudos to Alabama State University for that, and for all the signees that have an opportunity to go on and extend their educational opportunities through athletics, so to speak.
Yeah, congrats all of them. Let me just add one more thing to it before we go to signing off. Also, I'm going to applaud this coach at Alabama State. He's trying to work in that Nick Saban mentality process. I think he just hired 8 additional coaches. I don't know where he get the money from. He hired 4 assistants, 2 from Troy, 1 from FAMU, Florida A&M. These are assistants and 1 more assistant coach. Then he hired what they call, quality control hires.
Yeah.
I never heard of that, but yeah. So that means one of the quality control hires was Tavares Jackson.
He hired him to come
over there and coach quarterbacks. So the point is, they're going to be analysts like Nick Saban used analysts. He's getting 4 plus 4. That's 8 additional coaches besides the coaches he already have on the staff.
Where are we getting the money from? But we that's another day to discuss that topic. Here's Talking Sports Plus, and we're just sharing every topic with you. But we're about to close this show. We're down about 3 minutes, and I want each one of my co-hosts to kind of share some thoughts and how to contact them. And that way you can want to speak with them, email them, call them, whatever, but you can share your thoughts. And I'll start with you, Coach Stallworth.
Tony Stallworth signing off. Please be mindful that the Alabama High School Athletic Association basketball is again to start. And we're in the area of play, going to area play, the sub-region. The four regions are, as always, North, East, Hansville, Northwest, Jacksonville. Our very own central is at Alabama State University. And down south with you, Darryl, my friend, is Dothan. Please come out and get involved in a great event or a week, 7 days of great basketball. And from that point on, we go to Birmingham for the state championship finals, which will be the 26th through March 3rd. Again, have a nice day. You take the day. Don't let the day take you.
All right. Thank you, Coach.
Darryl E.
Okay.
So I have a whole plethora of things going on, which has nothing to do with sports in the realm of what we speak on. Number one, drag racing. I guess everybody knows that they call me the Don King of drag racing. April 1st is my first race of the year in Montgomery at Montgomery Motorsports Park.
You got several days,
no.
You got several
days. Yeah, yeah. I tell them all. Call me what you want to, just call me for dinner. So, but everybody have a great night, and I appreciate you. And, yep, Tony, Valentine's, February 17th, the Garrett Coliseum. I hope to see everybody there. Y'all have an awesome night.
My brother.
You'll be there.
Yes.
Go
yes,
ahead.
This is Tremaine Edwards signing off. You can contact me at TREEDWARDS. 17, the number 17, @gmail.com. Get in touch with me. We can talk sports. Y'all have a good night.
Okay.
Millennia.
There you go, Millennia.
Okay. Just like Coach Starr said, go out and support your local team because they are in the area too. Sub-regionals. And should you go out and support your local team? I heard last night Blue Tech boys and girls both lost by 1 point to the end of their season. Personally, I guess I'm going very far anyway, but that's all my boys that played for me this summer. This summer, AAU is coming up. I coach for the Alabama Roadrunners. And we will be having trials on March the 4th. Stay tuned for location, time, ages, 13 to 18. Please come with a mind ready to work. If you don't have a mind ready to work, you stay at home. Meet.
Awesome. I'm going to wrap it all up, my brothers and sisters. I'm going to say the hashtag keep on grinding, and on top of that, hashtag grind and pound. Grind and pound, or pound and grind, however you want to call it. So just do that and do it for me. Have a beautiful night tonight. We'll see you next week on Wednesday night, 8 o'clock. If we don't see you, we'll listen for you. So we'll listen for you on next Wednesday night, 8 o'clock. Yes, sir. 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. Yes, sir.
Next week, I will have for the show where the student athletes at each one of the each one of the high schools signed to attend those schools. I think that's very important that we know so our listeners will be able to follow those student athletes.
That's awesome. So you join us next week at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We're going to have an awesome time again. We have a very spirited conversation tonight. I thank each of my co-hosts as well as your listener. I thank you for joining us. We're going to have a great time next week. We had a great time tonight. So let's go out and have a ball again. Hashtag keep on grinding. Have a wonderful night, and we're going to end it right here.
This is how we do it. It's Friday night, and I feel alright. The
from the west side. So I reach for my 40 and I turn it up. Designated driver, take the keys to my truck. Hit the shop cause I'm faded. Honey's in the streets, say money, yo, we made it. It feels so good in my hood tonight. The summertime skirts and my guys ain't canine. All my gangbangers forgot about the drive-by. You gotta get your groove on before you go get paid. So tip up your cup and throw your hands up and let me hit a party.
Get yours in a second.